Premium Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
Good evening, everybody, and we welcome you to the ASN Coaches Show here from Pendleton Heights High School. I'm your host, Jacob Fessmeyer, and alongside me for later in the show is co-host Ian Stevens. We'll join you folks live in our next segment, as segment one is our pre-recorded event. So sitting right across from me for segment one is Ravens wrestling head coach, Dave Cloud, followed up by Lady Ravens basketball head coach, Chad Cook, for segments two and three, Ravens basketball head coach, Adam Ballard, for segments four and five, with Ian and I wrapping up this evening's show, looking at some key marquee matchups on the Ravens schedule for the season. So easing into segment number one.
All right, Coach Cloud. So for the past few weeks, you and this group of Arabian wrestlers have been doing strength and conditioning workouts, get prepped up for this upcoming season. What have you left to see from these wrestlers as they put in the hard work, grind, and dedication and trying to be successful for this season?
Well, there's been a lot of hard work. I do the middle school football in the start of the school year, so my assistant, Katie Kriebel, is primarily responsible for preseason. And she always does a really good job getting the kids ready physically. She's coached at the higher levels of college and works a lot with USA Wrestling and been on international trips. So she knows a lot of the tricks of the trade on that. And we've had really good numbers this year. We had 30, which is the most we've ever had in the preseason, because most of our kids are in a fall sport. But those kids that aren't, a lot of times they're working and doing other things. So we've had a really good preseason. We hit the ground running this past Monday when our season started officially.
So this squad starts off their first meet on November 20th, traveling over to Hamilton Heights High School for the Hamilton Heights Super Six. So what do you love most just about the beginning of the wrestling season?
Well, it's organized chaos the first few days. You know, you got 80, 40-some, 50-some kids going different directions, and a lot of them are brand new to the sport and never done anything like that before, and parents who are learning as well. So it's always it's a chaotic time, but we look forward to it every year because we're introducing a whole new group of people to Arabian wrestling. And it's not just our varsity on the 20th that will be in action. It's the first time in the history of our program we'll be at three different tournaments. Our varsity will be at Hamilton Heights for a Super Six. Our freshman and sophomore JVs who are not on the varsity will be at Yorktown for an invitational tournament, and our women wrestlers. First time we've had a full women's team where we're heading to tournaments directly for them all season long. They will be at Northview on that opening weekend. So we're very excited. It's the first time in the history of our program that's dated back to 1969 that we're going to have three different tournaments going on the same day. So it's going to stretch our resources, but it's a great thing. It's a great time to be an Arabian.
So there are a few of these meets on the schedule chained together that are taking place here right at home. On December 11th, Pendleton Heights High School is hosting one of the Super Sixes. A couple of days later, they host the Anderson Indians. And the highlighted event, the Madison County Tournament, here on December 18th. So what's it like having three straight key wrestling meets here from home sweet home?
It's big. You know, we love wrestling home in front of our home fans and getting up just a few minutes later that morning, not having to get on the bus and head somewhere. And it's just a lot more comfortable being at home. So we always enjoy our Super Six. We had to cut it down last year to a triple dual because of COVID restrictions and travel restrictions for some of our teams. So we're excited to have everybody back. Anderson's a big rival for us. It sets us up for seeding for the Madison County Tournament. And then we're hosting it. Last year we were supposed to host, but because of COVID restrictions, we didn't have the space in our gym to get the fans spaced out enough. We really didn't want to do it with the fans not being able to see it. So LaPel has actually a larger seating area on one side where we could keep the fans away from the wrestlers, and so we moved it up there. So this year it's back here at Pendleton. We're always happy to host it. Pendleton Heights started the Madison County Tournament. Our original coach, George King, wanted to wrestle Anderson High School, which was his, where he went to school, and they wouldn't wrestle Pendleton. They said we weren't good enough. They didn't want to wrestle us. So Coach King convinced our AD to push the county ADs to do a county tournament, knowing that Anderson would have to participate if we did that. So he kind of backdoored him on that, and he started that tournament in 1972, and we won. Pendleton Heights won the first year, defeated Anderson. Made Coach King's point that Pendleton wrestling had arrived and it was time for the Arabians to be respected. So we're always excited to host it. And Coach King, as long as he lived, you know, he'd always say, hey, make sure that trophy stays where it belongs.
So as I mentioned in that previous question, the Madison County Tournament. Now, last year, the Arabians reeled in their seventh county win in a row and their 29th win total. The Arabians had six first place finishers in their respective weight classes, like Nicholson, Jack Todd, Ethan Childers, Gator Bynum, Colin Gillespie, and Sam Mosseny. So how hungry are you to watch the squad go out and wrestle their way to get eight in a row?
Hey, we want to go for it. You know, that's the record. Winning 8 in a row. We want to win those 8. We've won more than all the other county schools combined since in the history of the tournament. That's a big deal to us. You know, the level of competition isn't quite what we want it to be yet. Some of the county schools are down a little bit, but it matters to us to win that tournament. And we want to win it handily. And we want to put, you know, our goal every year is put all 14 in the finals. You know, 14 champions. That's hard to do because there are some really talented individuals in the county. But our goal is to dominate and run away with the title, and we want to get that 8th in a row, and we want to see our name inscribed on that trophy again. So it is a big deal to us.
So those first three meets for the 2022 calendar year are to watch for. Your team hits the road over to Fortville to take on the Marauders. Then a week later, another road trip over to Fishers to take on the Tigers. Then that following weekend, January 15th, the Hoosier Heritage Conference meet. Highlighting the HHC meet, what's it like clashing with seven other conference rivals in one meet?
We have an excellent conference. Hoosier Heritage Conference is a strong wrestling conference, pretty much top to bottom. And even our teams that have struggled some in years past, Shelbyville is really improving. Their coach, Adam Miller, is an old friend, and he's really worked to bring that program back from nothing when he took over. He had four or five kids on the team, and they're competitive now. And so our conference is really strong. You got New Pal, who's traditionally good. Greenfield won it last year. Delta is very good. Yorktown is in a rebuilding phase right now. But it is an excellent conference, and it's one that we point to that, and we want to do well in there. We didn't do as well as we hoped last year. A few years ago, we were second 2 years in a row. We lost by a total of 8 points in 2 years. So our goal is to win that team title. It'll be tough, but we're excited, and we're excited to get down there and wrestle that tournament in the new year.
Now, the sectionals will begin on January 29th. Last year over in Elwood High School, this Ravens squad had a few placements. Jared Brown took home first place for the 138-pound class. Jaden Tong placed third for the 145-pound class. Ethan Childers secured first place in the 152-pound class. Gator Bynum secured third for the 160-pound class. Con Gillespie dialed in for another first-place finish for the Ravens in the 195-pound class. So what did you like from the performance from these Arabian wrestlers in the sectional round of last season?
The kids wrestled with a lot of spirit. We were handicapped. We knew that going in. We'd had a couple seniors that let us down and didn't finish the season. We lost a wrestler to ineligibility and another to COVID quarantine. So we only scored in 10 of the 11 of the 14 weight classes. And so when you take zeros, we didn't have a 106 pounder all year. We didn't have anybody to wrestle 132. And we only had a kid who volunteered to go up and wrestle 170, even though his natural weight was in the low 150s, and he wasn't able to score that day. So, you know, when you score in 11 weight classes and Noblesville scores in all 14, we lost by a total of 30 points, and that's, you know, that's the difference of not having those weight classes. So that burned. You know, we'd won four in a row. We've won four of the last five, and I think five of the last seven. Our goal is to win that tournament this year. We want to get that title back here to Pendleton. Noblesville is a well-coached team. They're a good program. Hamilton Heights is going to be very good this year. Their coach has been telling people that they're the team to beat. So we told our kids that. It's like, this is our job, is to get out there and be ready and ready to win that sectional. I think it's going to be a great tournament, and our goal is to win it. We don't want to finish second. We want to win.
All right, thank you, Coach, for joining me in the studio.
All right, thank you.
Do you have an event you'd like to promote? Make sure to go to 917WEEM.org and click on the WEEM community calendar. There you'll find the calendar and a link to the form you will need to fill out to have your event show up on the calendar. Again, everything you need to get the word out on your event is at the WEEM community calendar. Details online at 917WEEM.org.
ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Thank you back here to the ASN Coach Show here on 917 WEEM. Sitting up with us for segment three as varsity ladies head coach Chad Cook. So getting into this segment, we'll recap the first two games of the season. The Lady Arabian season opener at Marion, followed by this past Saturday when they were at home against the Westfield. So your first game of the season was a blowout 70-25 win. Then your second game was a tough loss, 52-41. So how does your team adjust going from a game that was a cakewalk to a game that's very tight to the end?
Well, we're trying not to worry about so much of who we're playing right now as much as getting better at what we're trying to do. So, you know, a lot of those things we did against Marion, I could tell that was going to carry over well into the Westfield game, even though the team was not near as good. And we were able to carry some of that defense over into that Westfield game. You know, it is a challenge offensively when you get, you know, nonchalant and, you know, what the passes that did get through, you know, against Marion, now they're getting picked off and getting deflected against a solid defense in Westfield. So there's an adjustment there, you know, for the speed and, you know, their size. But, you know, the fundamentals are the fundamentals. And, you know, we were talking about things, you know, throughout that game and halftime of what we need to sharpen up at. So we'll try to keep working at that. We got Newcastle next, and we'll try to keep getting better and, you know, step three of our whole 23-step process.
The sister duo of Whitney and Casey Werfel lead the team in points so far this season, Casey averaging 16 a game, then Whitney with 13 a game. So what have you seen out of their execution and connection on the court?
Well, I definitely think that, you know, Casey's coming in real athletic and can run and jump, and she's doing a great job of getting deflections defensively and getting steals and getting us going the other direction. And then she's got good instincts overall, you know, getting the ball in the basket, cutting and wanting the ball. And, you know, that's really benefited her from the get-go here. For her to jump out, you know, as a freshman, it's a big jump to go from, you know, playing eighth grade last year into the varsity level. But I thought she's responded well so far, and we got a ways to go. So, you know, we're pleased where we're at. We want to keep pushing. And, you know, Whitney, you know, being the big sister there, has, you know, had a big role in, you know, what she's done for us already. And she has a big role in what we're doing right now. So I think she's going to keep playing more inside of herself there and not try to do too much. You know, I think she, you know, for, you know, us being better. So her decision making and what she's going to do for us is going to keep getting better. And together they're going to be a good tandem. You know, and they're just a part. We haven't even really got going, you know, the players that have gone well for us yet. I mean, we just had Kylie Lloyd back for a half, and, you know, Abby Rosenkranz, who got 20 on Westfield last year, you know, she didn't really get going. She had 8 against them. Haley Brunemer hadn't really got her stroke going yet. But, you know, we got a good Lady Arabian team here, and I was telling the girls that we don't quite know how good we are. We got to keep believing that we're better than where we're at and keep pushing ourselves to reach greatness here.
Now, there's lots of positive when it comes to talking about the Lady Ravens, but one negative is that this team is averaging 21 turnovers per game in those past couple of matchups. So what adjustments will need to be made to decrease, you know, those kind of turnover troubles?
Well, you know, we were talking about pressing too hard and trying to force things. We have a mindset sometimes that we got to do it now or never. I use the analogy of running down a hill. Where you're running down fast and your body's going faster than your legs will go. A lot of our turnovers come from that, where our mind's going faster than, you know, our body's keeping up, and, you know, we're turning it over. And I think that a lot of our turnovers mainly are decisions when we're turning it over. So I think we can fix those by, you know, coaching and talking about them. We can make better decisions. We're not losing a lot of balls from mishandles and, you know, being stripped out of our hands. So we'll keep getting better at that. And, you know, when you have good, tough opponents like Westfield, it really helps you. So we try to apply that in practice here by switching our teams up and keeping it competitive. And we've done that this year. I think we'll keep getting better, and I expect that number to keep going down.
Now, besides Tuesday's season opener against Marion, Saturday against Westfield was when your team really started to face some defensive pressure. So how do you think your squad handled it for that game, and how do you see them handling it continuing on to the rest of the season?
Well, we had a bunch of turnovers. I think we had 24. What'd you guys have us for in that game?
24 turnovers.
Yeah, we had 24 in that game. And I told the girls, you had 24 turnovers and you tried to win. Like, you know, if you just had 20, you know, you probably do win. Because they get more than just 8 points, you know, off those transition buckets. So you mess around and have 20 turnovers and still try to beat the number 9 team, you're making it real hard on yourself by doing that. But that's a good sign of what our defense was doing, being able to compete and how we were rebounding to be able to stay in the game despite turning it over that much. But also, you know, we're turning them over some too. So, with this team, I want to get that number down. I'm going to expect a few, but we got to get it down. We got to take care of it, and we got to be better when we play Newcastle.
So as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, Kylie Lloyd was available for a half here on Saturday. So only being able to play a half, but what did you see out of her defensively and physically?
Well, definitely Kylie's one of those players that makes an impact when she gets in the game, rebounding and defensively. She's going to be a big asset for us this year, and I expect her to get in the groove here a little bit more. She was solid there in the two quarters and eager to go. But I expect to keep her, going in the right direction here, and I think we'll see a lot more out of her as we progress.
As you mentioned in the postgame interview on Saturday, a lot of missed layups and easy shots. So what have you been pushing hard throughout practice to produce some second chance opportunities?
Well, a lot of what we did today was correcting that and how we finish and the strength of how we go up. And a lot of it's confidence. Instead of rushing it, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to get your shot blocked. So we got to go up strong, and we worked on that today. And also how we get the ball to a player. Like sometimes we're gonna score a little bit better by having a better pass given to us. So we worked on that today as well. And, hopefully – those are things that will help us get better not only just for this next game, but throughout the season.
So through those first two games of the season, the Lady Ravens are 7 of 31, or 23%, from shooting behind the arc. So how will the deep ball be a big focus to improve on in practice?
Well, that's what I was saying there about Rosencrans and Brunemer. Both of them, for us, haven't really got going. But I expect them to be kind of who they are, and I expect those numbers to go up. So I expect us to shoot it better. A lot of the mentality that it takes to be able to hit shots is confidence. So they're both trying to get that a little bit. And, we know, B's going through a lot, right now. So we just know things will come around and we're not sweating it too bad. And, those are good shooters and that ball will drop when we need it to.
So as we start to ease into the next topic, what have you been proud to see of these girls early in the season?
Well, our defense in the half court and our defensive rebounding has been solid. We need to keep building that up. We made a good defensive adjustment there in that second game from the first game. We're playing a much better team. If we can keep building, in that direction, I think we're going to be all right. Defense can be there for you every night. And, if you miss a shot or two, from time to time, game in or game out, your defense is something you can hang your hat on. So I think we'll continue to do that well, and I'm kind of proud of where we're at, but we got to keep getting better at it. That's something we work at, and we want to keep turning people over and getting deflections and making it hard on them to run their offense.
So what are some of the things you saw in these first two games that you want to dial in for the rest of the season?
Well, we want to keep having that energy, stay focused and stay intense. You don't want to let up. As these games, we're not playing a ranked opponent. We want to still stay just as locked in and just as focused as we were Saturday and keep building on, the progress we made. I think that this group's got a huge ceiling, and we got to keep trying to obtain that. And I think these girls will. They're working hard, and I think they'll respond well to the challenges put in front of them.
So today's your only practice from Saturday's game into tomorrow. So how do you feel your team did in practice today?
Well, it's definitely it's hard to do that when you come in, you play a Saturday game, and then you got a day off and one day to get ready for a conference opponent in Newcastle. It's tough, but I think the girls responded well today in practice. The girls know what's at stake here to start the conference 1-0 on the road. They're locked in and ready to go, but it is a challenge, with that day off and only having one day to keep your mind right and stay focused and get ready and know what they're going to be doing, but then also, us getting better too at the same time. So definitely one of those things you got to do. You look at it as like a tournament setting late in the year where, if you're playing a Friday and Saturday matchup, you don't have an extra day in there to get ready either. So you got to be able to turn it around quick, and that's just kind of a good practice towards doing that.
Coach Cook, the Lady Ravens are starting to dig into the core of the season with a couple of key matchups this week. As you mentioned, Newcastle has three games scratched off the list for them this season. Now, the first game of the season was against the Richmond Lady Red Devils, where they brushed away in a low-scoring matchup, final score 33-22. A few days later, they weren't able to pick it up and continued to struggle on offense and fell to Rushville, a final score 52-25. Then the following day, the Lady Trojans on both sides of the ball couldn't make an impact, and they lost once again, this time to Batesville, a final score 45-31. So with Newcastle having a struggle to start off the season, how confident are you in sealing the deal in the Lady Ravens' first conference game of the year?
Well, we want to be super stingy. We don't want to give up, you know, as many points as they've been getting. So we want to lock them up defensively, and hopefully that'll lead us to some baskets on the other end. And we're going to look to run, and see if we can get some easy ones and let that defense, you know, turn into offense for us. So I expect it to be pretty stingy tomorrow at their place and not let the ball go in the basket very easily.
So now looking at Heritage Christian, their season actually has not started just yet. Their first game of the season is on November 11th when they take on the LaPel Lady Bulldogs to begin their season following their matchup with Pendleton Heights on November 13th. So what kind of advantage do you see as your Lady Ravens will already have three games scratched off their schedule compared to the Lady Eagles one game?
Yeah, you know, and that's going to be tough for them, too. They're going to play that Thursday game versus LaPel and then have one day to get ready to play us. So we played each other last year, so they'll have a little bit of idea of what we do. But, you know, this going to be one where we're, you know, starting a stretch of, you know, where we got to be playing well, and you know, we're four games into the season. So, you know, we'll probably try to stick it to them there defensively and make it really hard for them to run what they want to run and see if that can't lead to some early offense for us.
So Haley Brennemer has been another Lady Arabian player thrown into the mix when it comes to being a leader on both sides of the ball. She has double-digit scoring as well as collecting boards and being a big presence on your defensive side. So how do you feel her leadership as well as these other seniors will assist with the younger band of players heading into this week?
Well, you know, with B and what she does for us, you know, it's awesome to see. You know, we haven't seen a bunch of her shots fall down yet. I know that will happen, but you know, her defensive pressure and her anticipation on the defensive end is going to lead to some easy baskets for us. She's long and she gets deflections and she has really good anticipation. So, you know, she'll pick off some things and see things before the other team can notice that she's in the way. And you know, that's also one of the things she's got to work on, not anticipate too much. She can get burnt sometimes by anticipating out top too much, and you know, that's something we're working on with her. But a lot of times our pressure's so good that, you know, that anticipation pays off. So something we'd like to see in her, and I expect that she'll have a lot of fun here in the next few games.
So looking at Newcastle's previous game against Batesville, they were unable to crack double digits in any of the quarters, with their highest quarter average being in the fourth, where they were only able to reel in 9 points. So what positive will this give the Lady Arabians when these two teams face off tomorrow night?
Yeah, like I said, you know, we're going to try to do the best we can do and not worry about kind of what other teams have done against them. But I expect us to really lock them up defensively and make things really hard on them to run their offense. You know, we kind of know what they're running, and it's going to be tough for them to be able to do what they want to do. And right now they've hit two threes this year out of, you know, the 30 they've shot. So we expect them to probably hit a few more tomorrow, but we're going to probably, you know, make things just as hard on them as they've seen so far. So I expect us to come out in a good way out of Newcastle tomorrow night.
Now, Coach, the Lady Ravens have not lost to the Lady Trojans since February 3rd of 2017, when this team fell to Newcastle back in the sectionals, final score 59-49. Since then, this team has been on a four-game winning streak against Newcastle. So what do you want to see from this team tomorrow night to stretch that winning streak over to five?
Well, it's important that we jump out and get off to a good start. We had a slow start here in this last one, but we need to have a good start there on the road and kind of set the tone early and kind of get Newcastle back on their heels and kind of show them who's boss. We want to set the tone in the conference, kind of who's going to have control of it here out of the gate. I think we're going to be the first conference game amongst all the teams. So we want to set the tone early and kind of get us heading into our next conference game, which is the next weekend against Greenfield. So we want to jump off, you know, and have a really good start here on the road.
So, Coach, as tomorrow you travel to Newcastle, one of the world's largest and finest gyms in the nation. So what's it like being able to take your team into that atmosphere and be able to soak it all in?
Well, definitely it's something we talk about with the girls, like all the history and all the great teams and players that have played there. You know, being a part of all that is super cool and exciting. You know, for them to be in that gym, you know, and hear some stories, it may strike some inspiration in them. And, you know, to get to play on that floor in front of that big arena, it makes you realize kind of how important the game can be, and hopefully it inspires you to play hard, and you always want to play the game like it's your last, no matter where you are, but sometimes having a little added incentive there never hurts. So, we look to come there on their home floor and show out really well.
So that will do it for segment number 3A. Thank you once again, Coach Cook, for spending another Monday evening with us up here in the gym balcony.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for covering us.
So when we come back, Coach Ballard will join us to talk about his coaching history as well as his playoff expectations and history heading into this season. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
Chris, last year was a challenge.
It was quite a challenge.
But we overcame it.
That's what life's all about. Overcoming challenges together.
And I'm so proud of our entire state and our local communities for persevering through last year together. I'm Indiana High School Athletic Association Assistant Commissioner Carrie Schludecker.
And I'm Assistant Commissioner Chris Kaufman. Last year, we learned something that high school sports have always taught kids, how to overcome challenges through discipline and teamwork.
Our student athletes do it year in and year out.
And last year, they did it with limited to no attendance.
But this year, fans are back in the stands, and we want to see your enthusiasm.
So we're challenging you, the fans,
to buy a ticket to your school's next sporting event
and help the whole community persevere.
This is your team. This is your community. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEM.
We welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. Ravens basketball head coach Adam Ballard currently joins us for the fourth and final segment. So easing into this fourth segment, let's go through a little bit of your basketball history. So this first question might be a little bit silly. Did you play any high school basketball? And if so, what high school?
excuse me. Yeah, I did. I wasn't very good. I played at Danville Community High School. I graduated there in 2006. I actually didn't play my last year for, a couple different things going on at that time. And, I was never a great athlete in any way, shape, or form, but I always just really loved the game.
So as a coach or as a player, what do you love the most or what do you enjoy the most about the sport of basketball?
Oh, my gosh. We only got one segment to talk about this. there's so many things, the teamwork aspect of it, the development aspect of things, taking a group that's at a certain place and trying to help them get, to a much better place in terms of what they're capable of. And when you have those groups that, maybe overachieve a little bit, those are the most rewarding groups. But, I think what I love about it is there's always something to work on. There's always something you can improve, always something you can get better at. And, when you lose that, I guess, kind of perspective on it, then you probably shouldn't be coaching any longer.
So what have been some of your favorite moments, either as a player or a coach?
Oh, my. I've had a lot of, really, really good memories. The game has given me so much in terms of memories, relationships, connections, experiences. But, anytime you win a sectional, there's not much a whole lot like it. We were fortunate to win five of them in a row, and I can't really say that any one was better than the others. They're all so individually special. Some individual games that I really enjoyed, really remembered. When we beat Central Catholic, Lafayette Central Catholic, be 2 years ago now, in the first round of the sectional, it's probably one of my most favorite games, most favorite memories. Being at Covington at the time, we hadn't beat those guys in the tournament in like 30 years. And we beat them. We actually beat them twice that year. So that's a good one. Beating McCutcheon, 3 or 4 years ago, that was a really fun game. I've had games that, probably 3-4 years ago now, where our team just, we had one of those days that everything kind of clicked. We scored 100 points. That was a lot of fun. Just to see our kids, be able to take all the things that we're doing and apply them and see them actually all come together on the same day. You know, normally you got days that you got a couple guys hitting shots or you got a couple guys that are really getting some things offensively or defensively. Very rarely do you have all of them getting it at the same time. And so that game was a lot of fun, but there's so many fun memories, even going back to, you know, my really early years down in Vincennes. Our teams weren't very good, but the kids and the amount of improvement and the amount of progress that we made, those are always really fond memories as well.
As you were just mentioning, you started your coaching career down in Vincennes with Rivet High School back in 2011. So describe, what was it like being a first-year high school basketball coach?
Well, you know, Rivet was a real eye-opener because I had come from being an assistant coach at a 4A program in the MIC. I'd been there for, I think, 5 years. And my last 2 years there, I believe we won 38 games, won a sectional. We got beat by 4 points in the regional at Hinkle by Gary Harris and Zach Irvin and those guys. And so it was a real wake-up call thinking that, you know, you can just take what you did somewhere and do it somewhere else. And that's just not how it works. You know, there's so much of it that is dependent on the kids that you have, the talent that you have. And it was a very eye-opening experience. I found out very quickly that I wasn't nearly as smart as what I probably thought I was at that time.
So kind of tracing back to that last question, when you began your coaching career back in 2011 down in Vincennes, but what inspired you or what made you want to be a high school basketball head coach?
Honestly, my high school playing experience. You know, I got caught up in some things that, nothing like trouble-wise or anything like that, but I got caught up in some things that I shouldn't have, and it was kind of, you know, when I was probably 18 or 19 years old, I decided that, you know, what do I want to do with my life, with my career? Well, I want to make sure no one makes the same mistakes I did. And so that's probably the biggest thing. I've always loved the game. I've always loved basketball. But that's probably the biggest reason that I wanted to be a coach. I worked with a guy named Billy Keller that played for the Pacers in the ABA days. He's an all-time Indiana great. Billy gave me an opportunity to start helping with camps when I was about 15 years old. When I was 19, I got an opportunity to be a high school assistant coach at Center Grove High School. And then when I was 23, you know, my goal there was to be able to apply for head coaching jobs when I graduated from IU. And I got my first job my first year out of college. And I'm all in at this point. This is probably what I'm going to do forever.
So you coached at Rivet High School all the way until 2013, and that following year in 2014, you hit your second high school to coach the Delphi Oracles to earn your first winning season as a head coach with a 13-12 record. But what was it like traveling across the state to coach your second high school?
Well, you know, it was a great experience. There's great people at Delphi, and you know, quite honestly, I probably would have been at Delphi a lot longer had the teaching situation been something that I could sustain. I was teaching out of my content area and was really, you know, not enjoying the classroom anymore. And so I knew I had to get out if I didn't want to ruin, you know, my love for it. And but it was a lot different. You know, going from, you know, Rivet is a very, very small Catholic high school. I think my last year there in the entire school was grades 6 through 12, and I want to say we had like 119 kids in the school. And so very, very small classes, very, very family-oriented. And then going to Delphi, a school that had, I think at the time, you know, about 450 kids. I was very fortunate to inherit some great seniors that year. Brent Hahn is one of my all-time favorite players. I know everybody around here loves Jameson, but I'm not sure Brent's not the best shooter I've ever been around. Jameson might be better, but they would battle each other. And it was a really great experience. And then, you know, once the teaching situation kind of, it came to realization that I wasn't going to be able to stick it out that way any longer, the Covington opportunity kind of presented itself and things fell into place, and the rest is history.
So as you mentioned, after a single season at Delphi, you stuck along the west side of Indiana, made your way over to Covington High School, and that year with Covington in 2015, you had a solid first season, finishing the year with a 16-10 record, as well as a sectional title to go with it. their first one since 2010. So what was it like racking up a sectional title in your very first year at Covington?
Well, it was a huge accomplishment for that group because they hadn't won a sectional game in 6 years, and they had had really good teams. They'd been rated number one in the state. They'd been, you know, 20-win team, 18-win team, and they'd always fallen short a lot of times to Lafayette Central Catholic, and just couldn't quite get over that hump. And so, you know, when I evaluated what was going on there, I kind of tried to identify two or three things that I felt we really had to do to get over the hump and win in March. And for that group, it was a huge accomplishment for those seniors and even a couple of the juniors on the team that had been part of teams that had just come up short. And so that sectional was extremely rewarding just because we were able to do something that these groups that came before that maybe had a lot more fanfare, a lot more media attention, they weren't able to accomplish. And so it was a really special thing for that group of guys.
So you coached at Covington for 5 seasons, securing a sectional title in all 5 of those. Eventually in 2020, you settled down here at Pendleton Heights. So what's it been like to settle here in Pendleton, and what do you like most about the school and the community?
Well, I like, from a community standpoint, you know, I like that it still has a little bit of a small town feel. Now some of that is good and some of that is bad. I do think that we are going to have to kind of adjust our mindset if we want to compete at the highest levels in athletics. But I love that aspect of it, that you kind of feel like you're part of something. You're not just a number on a page. And I'm sorry, what was the other part of your question? I apologize.
What do you like about, like, just being at the school in general?
Oh, okay. Well, I really like the people that we have in the building here. I think, you know, Mrs. Rickert, Connie Rickert, Chad Smith are fantastic administrators to work with. You know, getting to work with Coach Richmond. He and I are, you know, philosophically, we're very, very similar. We see things very similarly, and I think he and I will work really well together and be great allies for both of our programs to get better and to improve. And so that's a huge, huge plus for this school and for this community when the football and basketball coaches can work together and try to help each other.
So as we mentioned in one of those previous questions, you had great success over at Covington High School, now looking to carry it over here to Pendleton Heights High School. But what are your expectations as you entered your second year with this program?
Well, my expectation is that we take a huge step forward in terms of what our program is about. And, you know, for us to compete consistently at a high level, we have to have a couple different things. And the very first thing is we have to have an extremely high skill level. And that only happens if we develop it at the youth levels and continue that development through middle school and into high school. And we've, you know, our assistant coaches, we've got some great people in the community that are really interested in building a great program here. And we're still in the infancy of that. But, you know, we have 9 youth teams playing travel basketball right now. That program is led by our high school staff. And so, you know, we're off to a great start there. But the second thing is we have to have great discipline and we have to have great toughness. And if we are extremely skilled, if we're extremely disciplined and we're very tough, we're going to have a chance to have a good team every single year, whether we've got really good players or we got, you know, maybe a dip in talent. And hopefully we won't have those dips, but they happen in high basketball. And discipline is something that our team, our program, our kids really have to take pride in and take ownership in. And so to answer your question in terms of what do I want to see this year, I want to see that progress. I want to see that pride start to develop. I want to see the details mean more. And I'll start to know those things are happening when guys start holding each other accountable a little bit more.
So when it comes to the practices after school to the big games over on the weekends, what other standards do you hold your players, maybe not even players, but other coaches to?
Say that again. I missed part of
that. What standards do you hold your players and other coaches to?
Well, we hold our kids to an extremely high standard. You know, academically, we don't allow any kid to play varsity basketball that has anything less than a C- on their current grade card. Because if you can't take care of the classroom, then you don't need to be on the basketball court. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but is it really that difficult? I mean, you guys are both students. Is it that difficult to get C- or better in every class that you have?
No.
I mean, turn in your work, show up, do what you're supposed to do, yeah. right? So that's step one. Being early. You know, talk about discipline. Being early. Being in the gym. If we have practice at noon, you don't get into the gym at 11:55. You can't be ready. You can't be focused in to do those kinds of things. And it's just doing things the right way all the time. For both our players and our coaches, and we've got a great group of coaches. Some that have a lot of experience, some that are relatively inexperienced. But I think we've got a good staff that's growing and developing. And I'm extremely demanding and have high expectations of all those guys as well. Be in the gym early, be the last one to leave. Coach kids. We're not here to just kind of stand on the sideline and watch. We're here to help kids get better. And so those are the kinds of things that I expect out of our coaches every day.
So as we mentioned in that last segment, you had 5 sectional titles at Covington. So just explain and describe what's it like the second that final buzzer sound, you know that sectional title's coming back to your school.
I guess it depends on the situation. In 2020, we won our sectional championship by 30-plus points. So it doesn't really have the same feel as in 2018 when we won at 39-35. It's a great feeling. I mean, it really is. At the start of the season, that's always the ultimate goal, is win your sectional and give your team a chance to make a run in the tournament. I thought in 2020, I thought we really had an opportunity to win a regional and potentially get to a state finals game. And I don't know how we would have done if we got there, but I'd be lying if I said that after when it becomes kind of like, I know you mentioned we won 5 in a row, your focus kind of changes. And instead of just being so excited to win it, you want more. My first 2 years, total elation, total excitement. But then we got to the point that we wanted more and we expected more. We had a couple tough situations in 18 and 19 that we weren't able to get that win at the regional level. And then in 2020, nobody got a chance to win at the regional level. So that was really tough.
So in any stage of your coaching career, have you ever made it past the regionals or further into like a state championship or anything?
As a player, we got beat in a regional final. As a player or a coach, the farthest that I've gotten to is that regional game. Now, obviously, I've been to a lot of them, but as far as being a part of one of the teams, I've not had that experience.
So that will wrap it up for segment number 4. Thank you, Coach Ballard, for joining us once again for this evening's show.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
That will conclude this evening's ASN Coaches Show. Be sure to tune in on 91.7 WEM tomorrow night as Ian Stevens and Hayden Edmondson are on the call as the Lady Ravens take on the Newcastle Lady Trojans on the road, with tip-off at 7:30 and the ASN pregame show at 7:15. We appreciate everyone who tuned in for tonight's show, and we wish you all a good evening and a good night. So for Ian Stevens, I am Jacob Fessmeyer. This was the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.